You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Sitting has recently joined the ranks of French fries and television, things that we enjoy but that in excess are unhealthy. Doctors have suggested we combat sedentary lifestyles, particularly in office settings, with frequent walks, standing desks, and even treadmill desks. Dan Coyes, a senior editor at Slate and a contributor to New York Magazine, decided to stand as much as possible for a whole month, and he's detailed his experiences and the leg cramps in an article called Sitting is Bad for You, So I Stopped for a Whole Month. It's in the June 9th issue of New York Magazine. I'm very pleased to welcome Dan Coyes to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Did something specific motivate you to give up sitting for a whole month?
Well, I definitely knew that I was spending huge amounts of time every day sitting on my butt, you know, and I would drive to work, and then at work I would sit down for long hours, and maybe if I was lucky get up to grab lunch out of the fridge. Then I would drive home, and I realized as I read more and more articles about what sitting does to you that this, you know, it was as if I was basically smoking or not exercising at all in the kinds of effects that it was having on my body.
In fact, you write that excessive sitting can cancel out the benefits of exercise and that sitting for more than 11 hours a day shortens your lifespan, as we discovered on an earlier show talking to a doctor who had done a lot of research into that.
Yeah, there's been a slew of sitting-based research in the last 15 or 20 years. I mean, I don't know if the researchers themselves were sitting. They were probably standing, but the research was about sitting. And it does reveal that even if you're a person who exercises regularly, sitting for the rest of your day essentially negates any benefits of that exercise.
What is it about sitting that's so bad for our health?
Well, you
know, sitting is too much sitting?
It's sitting. One of the main things that it does to your body is that it really screws up your insulin levels, apparently. And so it changes your metabolism, and it causes you to essentially not process stuff the way your body could be processing it if you're moving. And it's not just the act of sitting. I mean, it's not the fact that you happen to be in that particular position. It's the fact that you're completely sedentary when you're sitting. When you're standing up, even if you're not walking or running or anything like that, you're constantly engaging in these little micro movements, as researchers call them. You're shifting your weight, or you're lifting up your leg, or you're popping a knee out for a second. And all of those things burn calories and increase your circulation and make your body work better, much better than it does when you're just sitting in one position without shifting at all.
So if I squirm in my seat, I'm actually doing better than if I just sit quietly?
I guess that's true, yes.
You were kind of challenged to do this, weren't you?
I was.
This is a magazine assignment?
Right. I was talking to my editor about the upcoming fitness issue, the health issue of New York Magazine that was coming up, and we were wondering what I could do for it. And we were talking about all these studies about sitting and how bad it is for you. And so we thought, well, what's the obvious, you know, what's the idiot's solution to this problem? The idiot's solution is, well, if sitting is bad for you, I should just never sit down and see what happens. And, you know, obviously it is a silly stunt. But it's also a way to sort of explore the outer limits of what an otherwise sedentary human body might be able to do. I'm not a guy who, before the month of April, stood hardly ever. So what happens to someone like me when I try to essentially go cold turkey from this thing that I know is killing me?
And you, of course, had to have some exceptions, like when you're sleeping.
When you're sleeping.
When you're driving.
When I'm driving, when nature calls, yes. All those things allowed me to sit or lie down as necessary. But I found that, you know, on an average day, I ended up sitting down for usually less than 15 or 20 minutes.
A doctor who was on our show recently said that we should be fighting for a place to stand on the subway rather than for a seat.
Standing is, I mean, the subway and the metro here in Washington is a great way to get your standing in. It's also a great exercise for your legs because you're constantly keeping your balance. But one of the things I found over the course of this month is that there's often a real social stigma to standing in situations where people think you otherwise ought to be sitting. And being the one guy standing on the subway when there's plenty of seats available definitely makes everyone think that you are weird.
Is lying down as bad as sitting?
Lying down as sedentary behavior, if you did it all day long, would certainly be bad for you, yes. lying down to sleep at night is totally good for you. I continue to recommend that to everyone.
You're also the co-host of Slate's parenting podcast, Mom and Dad Are Fighting. Did your family fight over all of this? Because your article reads somewhat like an hour-by-hour diary, and in it you mention your family quite a bit. How did it affect your family life and your family activities?
It was a little bit of a horror show. For starters, I definitely was very, very grumpy for almost the entire month. I thought that at some point my body would get used to this kind of exertion, and then, you know, the days would just fly by in a flurry of healthfulness and weight loss. But in fact, I just got angrier and angrier as the month went on, and my hips and back hurt. And I discovered that I'm not a person who deals well with chronic pain. And much to their chagrin, my wife and kids discovered that as well. Beyond that, I also just found that it was fascinating to me how much my social persona changed when I couldn't join in the physical stance of the rest of the family. When I couldn't sit with them at the dinner table, I felt more disconnected from them. When I couldn't, you know, over the Easter holidays, I was with my family, my extended family, on a vacation, and they would all be sitting around having a nice conversation, relaxing, and I would be sort of standing out on the edges, edgy and unable to contribute, and I would just end up checking my email all the time because that's a thing you can do when you're standing up. And it made me feel very detached, even someplace where I never would have thought about this, someplace like the playground that I take my kids to. You know, I discovered that my usual attitude at the playground is I'm, you know, like the relaxed dad who's hanging out on a park bench talking to other parents and not worrying about his kids. But when all I could do was stand up, I found that I was, like, constantly following them around, making sure they were okay, and I ended up being one of those neurotic dads who can't stop micromanaging his kids playing.
Can you go to a movie?
I did go to a movie, yes. I stood by the exit, everyone who got up to go to the bathroom was definitely taken aback by me and worried that I was a serial killer.
Not that you were the manager?
No, I wasn't dressed well enough to be the manager.
Was it harder to stay standing at the office or at home?
It was much harder at home. At the office, you know, you get wrapped up in your work, but you also have colleagues to go around and talk to and to run ideas by. You have meetings and phone calls that interrupt your routine that make for good reasons to be standing. You also just have this work, this everyday work that you are getting done and that standing doesn't necessarily get in the way of. At home, I just found that all I wanted to do was relax, but I would get home from a day of standing at work and I'd realize, oh, I still have six more hours of standing ahead of me until I either go to bed or die.
My guest is Dan Kois, K-O-I-S. His article, Sitting is Bad for You, So I Stopped for a Whole Month, is in the June 9th issue of New York Magazine. Did you have to devise creative compromises or loopholes to avoid sitting?
I tried to avoid loopholes whenever I could. The only major loophole I took was that I sat down during a play, because there was no standing room in the theater and I felt it would be unfair to the person with the seat behind me. But other than that, I really tried to stick it out. You know,
Did you have a standing desk?
I did have a standing desk at home, in my home office and in my office at work. One was very flimsy and crummy and I hated it. One was sleek and ergonomic but cost $500. So I don't know that any normal human being would want to pay that much money unless they're guaranteed of success. But the one loophole that I often allowed myself was that I not to get too graphic, but I just spent a lot of time in the bathroom, not actually going to the bathroom, but just sitting down playing Candy Crush.
That was a way of getting, because you had agreed that you could go to the bathroom.
Right.
But did you do a lot of leaning?
I did plenty of leaning. One of the things that I really learned from a lot of the scientists that I talked to is that even if you're just trying to incorporate sitting into your daily life on a normal basis, not on a stupid basis as I did, that shifting your weight and remaining active, even in a working posture, really, really helps, that it's very crucially important. The more you can lean on things, the more you can lift one leg up and rest it on something, the more you can slide something under your toes so your toes are slightly elevated, all of those things help your body adjust to a position that is not naturally that comfortable for it. Because the real lesson of this entire month is that there's just as much research showing that standing all the time is bad for you as there is showing that sitting all the time is bad for you. So, big surprise, the real lesson is you should do some of each. Don't do one thing all the time.
It's often pointed out that humans cause themselves all sorts of back problems when they decided to be bipedal. Other animals, of course, walk on four legs.
Right.
Those are the dangers of standing all the time. Also, you say exhaustion, but were you feeling noticeably healthier? Often, after you leave the gym, you may feel tired, but you also feel all these endorphins that are rushing through your body and making you feel better.
I don't think I got exercise endorphins, but I do think that I just generally felt a lot more alert and active over the course of a day. Now, at night when I got home and I was dealing with the consequences of standing for all day, that's another story. You know, I would collapse into bed and be dead in seconds. But during the day, I did find that the active standing kept me much more alert, much more productive, and it sort of made me feel kind of awesome and benevolent as well. You know, I'm that guy who's standing all the time. There's a real cachet to that in some certain kinds of offices. But I did find that, you know, on an everyday basis, if you're sitting down and working on some project and you get stuck, I think a lot of people's response is the same as my response typically, which is, I don't know what to do on this thing. I'm just going to open up a new tab on my browser and I'll go, you know, to BuzzFeed or Facebook or whatever and kill 15 minutes. And the next thing you know, you have not made any progress on the problem and you're stuck right where you were. When you're standing, I found, the very fact that you're on your feet already means that your natural response to being stuck on something at work is to move around, is to take a little walk around the office, is to go find someone to ask a question to try and to knock that problem out or to knock your brain into a different place, or even just to move around your office pacing and muttering to yourself. All of those things are things that come more easily to you when you're already standing up. And I found that instead of killing 15 minutes on the internet, I would move for 1 minute and then get back to work. And I found that I was just generally more productive and felt better over the course of the day when I was doing this, other than, of course, the searing leg and back pain.
Did you do you think you inspired others to do this? Were you the only one standing at your office?
My office does have a mix of people who stand and sit, especially the software developers, I discover, are great believers in standing. So I would go over to those guys' part of the office when I needed some inspiration. A lot of editors and writers at Slate, the magazine where I work, are sedentary people like me. And I do think that they were somewhat inspired when they would walk past and see, you know, a not particularly healthful fit guy trying the standing thing. On the other hand, they then got to hear me complain and whine about how much my legs hurt, so I don't know that that was like a real incentive.
A caller asks what he can do if he works at a computer all day.
Well, a great lesson that I heard from nearly every researcher I talked to who researches ergonomics and body kinetics was a very simple one, which is whenever your phone rings or whenever you have to make a phone call, stand up. Do every phone call standing up, and that's obviously going to, for most people who work at desks or computers, that's going to take a little of the sitting time out of every hour. Another suggestion that I got is for many of them is to set an alarm on your watch or get some kind of scheduling or timekeeping app that chimes or dings every hour or hour and a half, that and you know when that thing chimes that that's your turn to get up and just stand up for 5 or 10 minutes. They do make cheap trays that you can place your keyboard or laptop on. They're not ideal, but if you're not trying to do something stupid like me and stand all the time, they're probably good enough for someone who just wants someplace to put their computer for 10 minutes an hour, which is the number that most of the scientists I talked to came down at as saying, you know what, if you do 10 minutes an hour, you're doing your body a great service.
So as a result of this experiment, which only lasted a month, and I'm sure the minute the month was over, you stopped trying to abide by it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you stand a lot more?
I was forcing people to just bring stuff to me like some kind of sultan after that month was over. But, yes, I'm standing right now, for example. As soon as the phone rang and your producer was on the line, I stood up because that's now my impulse. But, yeah, I'm standing up. I would say I'm averaging 2 or 3 hours of standing a day in an office environment and trying to stand up a little bit at night as well. And it so far has been really easy to stick to. And part of that is, I think, because of the shock to my system that I gave myself over the course of April. You know, people say that once you run a marathon, the idea of your daily 4-mile run is no big deal because whatever, you ran a marathon. I wouldn't know. I would never do anything like that. But standing up a little bit over the course of the day is no big deal to me because I stood up for an entire month. So, heck, I can do anything involving standing at least.
Dan Coyes is a senior editor at Slate, where he is also co-host of the parenting podcast called Mom and Dad Are Fighting. He also is a contributor to New York Magazine, and his article, Sitting is Bad for You, So I Stopped for a Whole Month, is in the June 9th issue of New York. Dan, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks a lot. I hope you're standing, too.
Well, you have a standing invitation to be a guest on this show.
Excellent. Thank you.